You are listening to Real Conversations with Jake and Trent. No. You are not on the wrong podcast. This is Real Conversations 2.0. Reimagined for 2024. I mean, who doesn't want more in 2024? Real Conversations is sponsored by Boys Town, saving children, healing families for over 100 years. Please go to boystown.org to find out how you can help support the boys and girls of Boys Town. I'm Jacob Young, and with me today, of course, is my new co-host and best friend, Trent Garrett. Trent.
Is that me? Oh, yeah. Sorry. I totally forgot we were doing this.
Well, I'm glad you tuned in.
Yeah, thanks, man. Good to be here.
Because sometimes I think you tune out.
Oh, gosh, that just happened. Interesting. This is going to be a long hour.
It might be a long hour.
Looking forward to it, though.
How are you doing today?
Doing great, man. It's been freezing here in Austin for about 4 days, so it's got right back up to 50-something. So I'm feeling the heat. Well, feels nice.
You and Joe Rogan.
Yeah, just us. We're the only two people here in Austin. Everyone left.
Well, man, I'm excited about our guest this week.
Yeah, man. Josh. Josh is the man. We actually met him, or you met him long before I did, probably from your Utah days. But he actually mentored one of our classes for Next Generation Storytellers and really knows his stuff. Brilliant cinematographer. So
yeah, 100%. So just what Trent was saying, our guest this week is the incredible artist. I've worked with him. He mentored our young minds for our very own company, Next Generation Storytellers. He makes it his mission to educate others as a mentor for Learn Filmmaking, aka LFM Network. Now, you can find more about that on Instagram, YouTube, and of course, we're going to be talking a little bit about that amongst a slew of other subjects. His slogan is teaching cinematography to cinematographers. So without further ado, please welcome the talented Josh Miller. Josh, how are you doing?
Bro, you guys set me up way too much for that. I was like, okay, dial it down. Okay. No, thank you guys for having me. I'm excited to be here. And you guys are just, I love what you're doing with like high school students and all that. And so any way that I can help in any way, I'm always down. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, totally, man. Well, you know, we're super excited to have you on board today for this podcast. And it's actually kind of really, we've had one inaugural podcast together as this 2.0 version, but not like this. And we're just really happy to have you on. And you know, we love what you're doing because your mission is our mission in a lot of ways. I want to start off right away, though, with how did you get your start?
Whew, man. So yeah, I've been doing film for almost nine years now. I went up to BYU, Idaho, up in Rexburg, Idaho. It's way more cold than anywhere I've ever lived my entire life. And I started off as a business major, and I loved the idea of like marketing. I loved that idea, but I took one business class and I absolutely hated it. And so, I met a friend that she was doing cinematography and video stuff. And I was just like, that is really freaking cool. And switched my majors to communication with an emphasis in video production and literally like just never looked back. One of the things that I look back on is that there's the quote by Cortez about burning the ships. And that's what I did. I just like burned all of my ships. I was like, I don't have a plan B. Like, this is my plan A. There's no other plans. And I just went all in. And
that is the lightsaber that you use to burn them behind you.
Yes. I took that and I slashed it kind of like Anakin's legs. It's been a ride, and I've really, it has been the best thing that I've ever done for myself and, for my future family and currently my fiance and just everything that I'm building in my life. I look back on that moment, and I'm like, thank you, Josh, for, taking a risk on yourself and for just going all in on something. Yeah. So from then I worked at a creative agency for a while. I've worked for done a little bit of in-house video for a few people, but since 2020, beginning of 2020, I went full-time freelance and I was doing that as a DP, and now I'm going all in as a video production agency owner and starting to do that route, as well as really kicking up my desire to want to mentor people and help young filmmakers, just like no gatekeeping, just open the door and be like, hey man, here, I want to take big level stuff and bring it to the masses. Like that is my goal. And I like little pieces of filmmaking equipment that I would have known about when I was a young filmmaker. And so I'm just like, any way that I can get that info to young filmmakers, that's my goal now. That's what I'm doing.
I love that, Josh. That Jacob and I both share, obviously that's why we created Next Generation Storytellers, to really create that pathway to make it, you know, we both, me more than Jacob. Jacob has a very interesting story about how he got his start. But for me, I had to throw everything in a car, $500 in my pocket, drive out to LA and couch surf basically for 3 years, you know? And so it was just so far, seemingly out of reach, you know. And you know, I grew up in my, you know, middle class, you know, my parents were well off, you know, if I couldn't pay for my cell phone bill that month, they'd help me out, that kind of thing, you know. And there's so many people, so many talented people across the country and the world that, you know, just don't have that option, you know. So to make it, to create, you know, to pave the way for these young storytellers, this next generation, especially at this point politically, is just so important. You know, if someone has a voice, how do we amplify it? And how do we give back to the community that we so love? You know, how do we make it easier for people that it is even more difficult than how we had it, you know? And so that's been definitely our mission. And when you speak about this passion for mentorship, that leads me to believe that you were also mentored. So what's your story? Like who really, you know, when you first were breaking into the business, you know, what was the breaking point into, let's say, success, or to the, when you reached that benchmark of, oh, wow, this is actually something that is sustainable and a viable career option. I can make a living at this.
Well, I got to say, I heard a little bit of a little secret a while ago, Josh, that, you know, you were the hardest worker on set and you asked the most questions when you were given the opportunity. And many people have told me this. So tell us the story.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I would probably say,
how much did you pay them?
Yeah. So, I have to, so yeah, first off, mentorship hands down has been the single greatest factor to my success as, honestly, as a person in general, but as a filmmaker. I don't know if I could name exactly one specific person, just because I have had so many people. I try to be a sponge wherever I go. And I'm like, bro, I am not, like, if I'm the best in the room, then I'm in the wrong room. Like, I want to always be at the bottom of the totem pole, always learning from somebody. And I've had so many amazing mentors throughout my entire film career. One of my first mentors that I can think of, like right off the top of my head, was my professor at school. He was a really cool guy. He was this British guy. Him and his family had moved from, somewhere over there. I don't know exactly.
Maybe it was Britain.
Yeah. Britain or like what? I don't know. There's like so many little towns there, like Liverpool. I don't know if they're towns or I don't know what they're called, but cities. I don't know. Counties. Whatever.
Counties.
Dumb American. but he was one of the best mentors because he was so blunt. Like, I remember one of the first videos that I did for the school, it was kind of like a lifestyle sort of video. And we were just getting shots in classes of students working. And as a young filmmaker, I'm like not wanting to, like, I don't know, be intrusive or whatever. And so I'm like getting a lot of the shots of backs of people's heads. And like, he's like, why are you getting the backs of people's heads? Like, nobody wants to see the backs of people's heads. Like, we want to see the faces. And I was like, it was so blunt. And then, like, I don't know, he would say things like, if you have a trash can in your shot, like, you're an idiot. Like, you need to, like, look at your scene and, like, really analyze it. And just, he was so blunt. His name was Christian Mollum. And he was so, he obviously he was a professor, so he was there to teach, but he just gave all of his knowledge and he was super blunt. And then I don't know, I've had, when I moved here to Utah, I started working as a PA, a production assistant on sets. Cause I was like, I've done video, but as like a videographer, and I wanted to get on big sets, and I was like, bro, there's no way I'm just going to step on like as you know, somebody that needs to actually know what they're doing. And so I was like, I'm just gonna be a PA. I can get water. I can like, I can do that stuff. But I asked a lot of questions. That's probably where you got that from, Jacob. I did a lot of stuff with Chamber Media here in Utah. And Danny Shepard, he was the gaffer on most of those sets. And I just would ask him questions and ask him questions. And finally, he started hiring me to be a grip for him. And I learned even more. And then I started getting asked to be like first AC for people. And I got to understand cameras better and see how, you know, DPs wanted things to be done, certainly. But between being able to be kind of in the background, and not have to make decisions, but be able to watch how things went and how watch how DPs, because you know, you can look at the screen and you're like, oh, that looks beautiful, but to see outside of the frame and be like, oh wow, he's using that to,
yeah,
or he, you know, he's doing that, like. And so I just over time, you know, you learn. And then obviously YouTube is an amazing resource. I've taken like on set experience, hands down, the best one. But you know, watching YouTube videos and like when I remember as a kid, I have this weird thing. I could watch. I played lacrosse back in high school, and I could watch a YouTube video. This was like OG days of YouTube. I could watch somebody do something and be like, okay, I think I have a grasp of like how to do that, and I could go and I could replicate it and do it myself. And so I just would take all these things from YouTube and put them into practice. And I wish there was like one person that I could contribute everything to, but it's just, I have so much to be grateful for so many amazing cinematographers and filmmakers in general that have so graciously given all their knowledge to me just without any reluctancy.
It's okay, Josh. You can say it, Trent.
Yeah.
Trent. No, I'm kidding. You speak on the bottom of the totem pole, right? You know, PA, entry level job, right? And everyone in the industry, especially, you know, at the higher level, will always say there are no small jobs on a film set. Everything is a well-oiled machine, and everything is dependent on each other and the people next to you. And so I think you're a prime example of, if you are hungry enough and you put yourself in the right situation, it's going to happen. Where there's a will, there's a way. And brother, you got a strong will. So, I mean, I'm stoked that, you know, you're at this point in your career and in your life that you are able to get back. And so I think that's a testament to, you know, you giving yourself that strength and tenacity to just go after it. You know, I saw something, you know, Elon Musk was talking about YouTube. I'm sure y'all saw the quote. It was something to the extent of like, you know, there's enough information on YouTube where you don't have to go to college to learn certain things, you know? And
no. Yeah.
So, I mean, you're a prime example of that, man. Yeah. Obviously you have to drive.
Well, you went to college.
Yeah.
And I visited that campus, and it is cold in the wintertime. Yeah. That is a little bit off the grid. It's a beautiful place. You can actually see like the Tetons.
Oh yeah.
In the backdrop. I mean, it's pretty neat. It's a pretty cool school.
I got dropped off January 1st and literally it had just dumped snow. And my dad, he had actually driven me up there from California, and he was like, I'm not getting out of the car. Here's your bags. Like, you go ahead. Cause like, I mean, up there, they don't like really plow. So the roads, it's just all through the winter, it's just snow. And I was like, where the hell am I? Like, it felt like I was getting dropped off in like Antarctica or like the North Pole or something. It was insane. But I had to take like Illustrator classes. And I actually feel like I almost learned more about cinematography from my vector graphics class, because one of the projects that we had to do was to make a photorealistic watch from nothing. And so I learned about, you know, what makes something look three-dimensional, you know, shadows, highlights, you know, specular highlights. You know, you start to understand like, oh, like, okay, that's what's making this look real. And then I took those same principles and I applied them to my cinematography. I was like, hey, like if you need to make something look 3D, you need to add these different elements to it. And so I contribute a lot of my success to that. And some of my networking as well. That's one of the things I wish I would have done with film school is just for the networking aspect. But
let's talk about that for a second. Like, let's talk about networking because, you know, we work with all these young people. You work with a lot of young people. They're all trying and striving, especially in this particular career field of like, how do I do it? Where do I go? Who do I need to talk to? If you could go back in time and you're saying like you would like to network, how would you have done it? How would you have gone about it?
Yeah. So I probably, honestly, I don't know if I would have done much differently. I think I would have just done more of it. So I remember I reached out, thankfully at BYU Idaho, they really pushed using LinkedIn and using like social media stuff. And so I reached out to people and I would like, there was one guy here in Utah that, he was a BYUI alumni. He was working at a place down here. And I just reached out to him on LinkedIn. I was like, hey man, I am getting into this. I would love to, you know, meet up for a coffee and just pick your brain about things. And that was honestly one of the best things I did. I drove down here to Utah, met with him downtown Salt Lake. We had a chat for like an hour. And I wish I would have just done more of that. Just messaged more people, met up with more people. Because one thing that I've been doing recently, I have a lot of like social media friends. But recently I've been like, hey, let's go to lunch. I want to meet you in person. Let's actually meet. And that has been one of the best things recently for me is just sitting down with friends, with other cinematographers, filmmakers in general, and just talking just about anything, just getting to know each other more. And so I wish I would have just done more of that, meeting with people in real life, you know, buying them a coffee, just sitting down and just talking. And then if social media was the way it is today, back then, I would have just done more social media outreach, just more talking to people, just liking their stuff, just commenting on it, because that goes a long way. So I would have just done more of with that.
Let's talk a little bit about that though. I mean, you have such an outreach and I've seen your platform. It's growing exponentially all the time. People are really interested in your content. You know, how did that come about? You know, you were mentored too. We've talked a little bit about that. We talked about you, you know, growing from a PA position and learning everything, talking to our good friend, Danny Shepard. But going to this next level, I mean, you're on another level right now, truly.
Thank you. Yeah. So I would say what has gotten me to where I am right within the last, so end of December, I set goals I was like, I'm going to treat my social media as a business. I am going to actually put the time and energy into it that I really want to give it. And then I had one video that went viral and I was at 4,600. I like to say supporters because it really is. I don't care about followers. I care about people that want to be part of my community and want to support. I was at 4,600 followers, supporters, and a week later I was at 10,000. And then a week later I was at 20,000. And it just keeps growing. And so I contribute that to my relationship with the guy that owns and runs the Learn Filmmaking Network Instagram. His name's Gabriel, one of the best human beings that I think I've ever met. And that relationship started because years ago, I started interacting with his platform. I started tagging them in because they're kind of like one of those reshare pages. And I would tag him in my work and sometimes he would like share to his story and whatnot. And that relationship just over time grew and grew and grew. And then finally he was just like, dude, you are an amazing cinematographer. I want you to be a mentor for us. And I want you to, I want to post your content on our channel. And so he posted that video. It went viral on my page and then he posted it on his and that one went viral too. And it just blew up. And so I contribute all of that to my relationship with people in general and with Gabriel.
You know, that doesn't surprise me whatsoever, man. It's incredible. And you know, Utah is such an interesting community of filmmakers that are out there, because what people really don't know, when I first moved to Utah, everybody was like, why Utah? And I'm like, you don't need to worry about that. Don't worry about it. It's the worst place to live. Just yeah. Stay in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Yeah. But don't move here. It's terrible. It's just cowboys and
it's just nasty people, Nobody likes them. But there is a really diverse community of filmmaking. Obviously Sundance Film Festival, which has been around for a very long time, and now Angel Studios, which is Sound of Freedom, and they're just becoming one of the top studios to be working with. Any thoughts about that?
Yeah, so I think it was last year. I forget exactly which magazine it was, but I think it was just called Filmmakers. I don't know, but they named Utah the best state for filmmakers to live and work. And there's a reason for that. It really is.
The price of living and the amount of work, right?
Yes. I mean, it's just like those combinations. And then just it's such a family friendly place. Like there's such good people here. And truly, I contribute all of my learning to the fact that Utah people are just so Danny Shepard. He literally just taught me, and he didn't even care. He was just like, here you go. Here's all my knowledge. And then another guy, Jared James, he's a gaffer as well. Just unloading all of his information on me. And I'm just like, thank you. You have no idea how much this means to me as somebody that's coming up. And I don't know how it is in other places. I've heard from, people that have worked in LA. They're like, yeah, it's not the same down there, bro. You're just not gonna, there's so given so much as a filmmaker. I'm like, now it's time. I want to keep that going. And I want to just open the gates. The other day I made my own kind of storyboard template, and I was just like, here you go. Just I put it on a platform that you can pay if you want. And I think I made $30 off it, but I'm like, it's free. Just download it. Here's the storyboards. And I've had almost 300 people download it. And everybody's just like, bro, thank you for giving this. I'm like, absolutely. I wish I would have had something like this when I was a young upcoming guy. And it's so reciprocal. And I think it's so cool here in Utah how that culture, that's a thing, is just to give and with nothing in return expected.
Yeah. Well, I think that we figured out who your mentor was. It was the Utah filming community.
There you go. Honestly. Yeah. Yep.
That's amazing. No, I actually worked in Utah. I was living back and forth, Los Angeles, and I was living in Park City on a series filming in Salt Lake City for 3 years or 3 seasons. And so I was back and forth a lot, and that's actually where Jacob and I reconnected.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
At an airport in Utah.
At the airport, the Salt Lake City airport. Yeah, yeah.
The only airport, yeah. So yeah, no, it was great, man.
That's cool.
I remember going back. I rarely would ever spend any real time in ski communities, like mountain towns, that resort towns. But I was there for a summer through up until the second week of January, multiple years in a row. And I realized it comes alive in another way. Mm-hmm. You know, it's less crowded. And all the resorts, everything turns into bike trails and this and that. And it was so cool to have that experience without having to, needing to be there, I would have, kept going to Thailand or Europe and all these places. I wouldn't have been to a ski town in Utah. Yeah. But since then, it was just I could just imagine the family and, there's people playing baseball and with the mountains in the back. I'm like, this is paradise, man. Utah was so spectacular, and what an amazingly unique and beautiful experience. Yeah. So I feel you.
It's amazing. I tell, I don't want the secret to get out, but it's sorry, amazing. It's I know during COVID.
You had an infiltration of Californians coming into Utah during COVID. Everybody was the great exodus was leaving.
Yeah, it was wild.
Yeah, we gotta edit this out for Josh.
No, but no, so Josh, So tell me, what's next, man? Like, you know, like if in an ideal world, what does it look like for you?
Yeah. So, you know, it's funny. I was having a conversation with a guy the other day, and he was like, all right, man, like he's a DP that he wants to share stuff on social media, but he has a lot of NDAs that he has to sign and stuff. And so he can't post as much as he wants. And he's like, as you grow, Josh, what do you think you would, if you were held to a point where you had to choose, like, you know, like being a full-time DP or a full-time like social media person and like doing mentoring kind of stuff, like what would you choose? And I was like, honestly, it's so weird to say, but I would choose the social media route because I don't like that gatekeeping and I don't like people telling me what I can do and cannot do. And, you know, as a freelancer, when you're just a freelancer, there are a lot of barriers. And so I've decided to go all in on a couple things. So first off, my social media and my mentoring, that is something I am taking very seriously this year and I'm going all in on because, for a lot of reasons, I turned 30 last year and I feel like I almost had like some sort of like a midlife crisis. And I was like, if I don't start now, like I'm
wait, midlife crisis at 30?
It felt like it just because I a couple of things. So last year, me and my fiance, we got engaged, we got a house. We got a dog. And a couple, you know, I feel like it was those things where like the pressure of life in a good way almost sits on your shoulders and you're like, crap, like I really need it. Yeah, like we want to have kids in a couple years. Like I have to make this happen. And so it was almost like another reburning of the bridges. I was like, hey, and actually kind of a weird thing. Last year was a pretty rough year overall for me when it comes to business and life. It was really great, but it's weird to say, but last year I almost gave up as a filmmaker.
Come on.
I really did. Yeah. I was like, you know what? And I think it was because of those pressures of life. I was like, you know, I could easily just get a job. I could, you know, either work, maybe just work in-house for somebody and just, you know, be an employee and just make a good paycheck and everything will be good. Maybe giving up as a filmmaker was the wrong word, just as an entrepreneur, as somebody wanting to like kind of do this stuff. But I definitely considered it and I'm grateful for Josh in 2015 and 2016 when I burned those bridges and I said, okay, this is what I'm doing. I'm going all of my energy and I want to be a pro. I want to be a pro at being a filmmaker and that's what I want to do. And so I was like, I don't have any other skills besides this. Like this is what I do. This is what I like eat, sleep and breathe. And so I decided to go all in on all of this. And so mentoring, social media, all this stuff. And then as well as I am pushing hard with my production company, it's called B Alpha Media. I want to transition from that freelancer mindset to a business owner, production company type of mentality. And instead of being the person, you know, waiting to get the phone call, I'm the person making the phone calls and working with clients. And one of my favorite things is I love to hire people and I love to pay people. Like I love at the end of a shoot, I love writing a check to people and paying them their day rates. Cause here, unfortunately here in Utah, we have a little bit of a bad culture of being a little bit cheap. And that's something I want to change. I want to be part of the movement of paying people good rates, paying people their fair rates, paying people what they deserve for, you know, their skill sets and stuff. And so
I love that. So where does that begin?
So for honestly, I think where it begins is people like myself, the ones that are producing the jobs, you know, just setting the standard and working with clients and be like, hey, first off, like, of course I want to make money. Who doesn't want to make money? Like I want to make money for myself, for my family. But when my ship rises and when the seas rise, I want all the ships to rise. And so as I not be selfish. And I say, okay, like I'm going to make my check from this, you know, I'm going to make the money, but I want other people to make the money as well. That there just becomes this standard in Utah. And I know of a couple other guys that are doing that as well. They are creating that standard.
Why do you think there's been a stigma around it? And why do you think it has been as low as it has been as far as pay?
I think, and so this dabbles into a world that I don't really understand a whole lot, but I think unions do have some, they help with that. And I don't know what all a union does and how they, but, because Utah is a work to write state or I'm sorry, a right to work state, you can kind of charge whatever and people will,
The lowest bid goes to that person.
Yeah, it's almost like they're not paying you for your creativity or for your skill. It's just like, hey, we just need a body. And it's like, cool, that's fine for certain things, but like, I don't know.
Do you think it's because of like a lack of inherent creativity, historically speaking? Because obviously there's so many creative people, not just in downtown Salt Lake, but Park City and, you know, but it's just like maybe that mentality of, you know, let's just get the job done. That's one. That's, it doesn't need to be spectacular. Maybe it's just, you know, some the higher ups, let's say, that kind of just control the monetary movements and flow, ebb and flow of Utah, maybe.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of factors. One of them being that there is definitely a bad culture in general among companies and like entrepreneurs here in Utah of, honestly, like I'm going to put it just super blunt. There is a culture here in Utah of screwing people over. And it's really bad. Like, I mean, there's, you know, Utah is the birthplace of MLMs, network marketing, all of this stuff. Yeah. And it's all of these people that they want to make quick money and they literally don't care who they stab in the back or who they run over with their car to get there.
It's cattle to them.
It's just, they're just like as many people as I can get through the door. As many people that I can screw over, that's that. And as long as I make the money, that's where, and I'm just like, I don't know how you live with yourself, you know, with that type of mentality and knowing that you screwed over people. So whatever, you know, my very small influence in this community of doing that and hoping to set that new standard for good rates, you know, fair work, fair, you know, just, and maybe, maybe unions come into Utah down the road and there's pros and cons to that, but whatever that looks like for me to help with, I want to be part of that. Just overall for the film community.
Yeah. Well, I think the first part is obviously reaching out to the film office and making sure that you're basically standing with them, because what we've found, you know, with working with the projects that we've been working on, is that that's really the key. That's the thing that starts the engine. Is really connecting with those film offices and trying to find out who are the people that are going to help give an incentive to draw the, it's people like yourself, people like Trent, people like me that are, you know, wanting to have creative integrity and robust film communities across any town USA.
Yeah.
Not just Atlanta, Los Angeles, New York, but you know, all these communities deserve this, and they all need to, the government, you know, you need to talk, you know, call up your senator. Well, you got to call up your senator. You know, you got to talk to somebody who's in charge that's going to pass a bill in order to raise that money that's going to make that community much more robust.
Yeah. Me and my buddy were actually, we were at the Capitol the other day filming some stuff, and we were actually talking about that. We were like, we need to talk to, because the tax incentives here in Utah right now are not great. And his name's Tenzin Lazarson. I don't know if you guys know who he is. He's also, he would be a great person to have on the podcast too. He was asking me that, and I was like, bro, I don't even know who you've been to begin to talk to. You need lobbyists and stuff. And I don't know how that, like, government's not my thing, but yeah, like I just talking to those guys to get tax incentive passed and all these different things that just it's little drops of water in the bucket, and that fills up the bucket, you know?
Right. Well, the thing that I found with Utah is that, you know, they have a pretty good amount of incentive, but it's not an ongoing incentive. Once it's gone, yeah. it's gone for that year. And it gets absorbed within like the first 3 months of the year when it becomes active. Because the big yeah. studios come in, you got your Hallmark movies, you got your Lifetime movies, you got all the, you know, the movies that come out there because it's snowy and it's romantic and it's really nice yeah. And beautiful. And they just absorb, you know, all of that. Well, not to mention, right?
Horizon.
Yeah, and like that ate crust. Up everything last year. Obviously Yellowstone too.
So
there was a lot of that going on, but that seems like that's pretty much done. So, you know, but that also is opening another door for more studios.
Yeah.
So it's really about the community, like yourself, Josh, and like myself and Trent and any of these other filmmakers that are out there to really talk to somebody, build it up, like make it something even better than what, because I mean, there couldn't be a more spectacular place to shoot. I mean,
absolutely.
You literally have it all in Utah. You got deserts, you got mountains, you got valleys.
Everything but the ocean. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah, we can fake that, though. That's easy. You just do that in a studio.
Yeah, you fake it at, like, the Great Salt Lake or, you know.
That's true. Yeah. I actually got a question, Josh. So, like, what was your biggest emotional hurdle throughout that process when you're about to throw in the towel? You know, as an entrepreneur and everything that you built over the last number of years, where did you flip that switch in your head going from, you know, whether that was, you know, a deep place or a dark place or an insecure place of, I don't know if this is something that I want to put energy to anymore and sustain. What was going through your head emotionally, and how did you make that switch?
Man, wow, that's a lot. No, I love that because there's definitely multiple things. So one of them is the idea that no one is coming to save you. You have to be the author of your own story, and I think I just, you know, it's kind of one of those things. I don't like the old phrase, you know, you just need a man up, because that is obviously a terrible way to go about life as men. Like, there's, you know,
denying emotions and like, suck it up. Let's not deal with it. Fix it. Let's just move forward. Straight on.
However, I think there are times in our life where you just have to man up and you'd be like, if I don't do it, who will? Because no one's coming to save me. No one is like everybody else is worrying about themselves. And so if I don't worry about myself, nobody's worrying about me. And rightfully so. So it was one of those things where I had to sit there in the mirror and look at myself and just be like, hey, Josh, like if you don't do it, it's not going to happen first off. And then you will regret this your entire life and you will be an old man on your deathbed and you will be kicking yourself that you did not man up and just do it. Like I said, I think there's times in our life where that phrase, you know, works. And then there's not where like over the last year, I have also become extremely vulnerable with my fiance. I am learning how to communicate more and be more open. And so that man up for me has been redefined. I've pushed myself harder than I ever have, but I've also been more open and vulnerable than I ever have. Me and my fiance, we're literally going to couples therapy tomorrow because there's things that we need to work on as a relationship. And I'm realizing that if I don't work on that, it's never going to be fixed. And so I want to bring back that phrase, man up, with like, you need a man up, but with a new light and a new purpose. And so, because of what it's done for me this last year, I almost threw in the towel and I was like, Josh, you have to, if you don't, it's not going to happen. So,
It sounds like man up is going to be changing to just challenge accepted. Also, like what you were also talking about, right? I want to be at the bottom of the totem pole. I don't want to be around. I want to be on the shoulders of giants, right? Like you want to see how much you have to learn, because that's like, you know, like through discomfort, change happens. And like, there's so many different sayings that kind of, you know, work in that direction. But it's like, not just challenge accepted, but challenge welcome. Because if it's not challenging, then I'm in the wrong field, or I'm in the wrong space in my life, right?
Let me ask you this though, Josh. You know, in your relationship, when you were ready to throw in the towel, what did your missus have to say, your significant other?
Yeah, so that's where I'm learning how to communicate, because she didn't know that until about a week ago. I am definitely the type of person to where we moved into this house in August, and that's kind of when things really started to you know, go south for me mentally. And I literally came into this room and I sat on that couch back there, and I just game planned and kind of visualizing and started to just figure out exactly what I needed to do. I and I've heard this from other people that men, when we've got a problem, we go into our man cave, we figure it out, and then we say, okay, here's the plan. Right. And women, they like to talk about it. Obviously that's just a general addition, but they want to talk about it and figure it out. And that's just how it is for me. I just, when I have a problem, I'm getting better at it. I'm talking to her about things. But with something like this, I was just like, Josh, like, I mean, your fiance can't help you with this. She can't do it for you. And so like, I had to come in here and I just, it's like, hey, what are we doing, Josh? Yeah. How are you going to do this? Because if you don't, no one else is going to.
Right. Communication too is key, right? It's everything.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you, Josh, you know, something we ask all of our guests that are on here, if we could go back in time, you could take a trip in the time machine, you take a trip in the Jacob and Trent time machine, and you can go back to younger Josh.
Mm.
And while you're sitting in this man cave, talking to yourself, what would you say to yourself?
To younger Josh? Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, what would you say to your 5-year-old self?
Oh, man. probably just to believe in yourself. I think as humans in general, and also as men, I feel like it can be hard to believe in yourself sometimes, and know what you're capable of doing. Just being able to tell, because like I've talked about this with a lot of people. When I was a kid, I wanted to be an artist. Like I wanted to be able to draw. In general, I wanted to be able to do that stuff, and I couldn't. I was terrible at it. And when I found filmmaking, that was what really, you know, that was my, how I was like, oh, this is my paintbrush. This is how I can be creative. It is through filmmaking. And so, just being able to tell my younger self that, you know, to believe in yourself, and then also to not be so uptight about things and to be so stressed out about things, and that it literally at the end of the day, everything is fine, you know, and it's going to be fine. And as long as you are breathing and you're alive, I mean, like that itself is a blessing all its own. I mean, I literally have a tattoo here on my chest. It's my birth year, because for me, I'm like, that's the greatest year of my life, because I was given life. Like I was born, I was, you know, brought into this world, and just being alive is amazing. So if I could go back and tell all that to my 5-year-old self, and even to myself 8 years ago, when I was just starting out, I think, you know, there's like these TikToks that go around, and it's just like, remember where you're at right now is what yourself 5 years ago hoped and dreamed of. That was you dreamed of that. And so just because you're not where you want to be right now, in 5 years, like I'll look at myself in 5 years and be like, oh dude, you're killing it, bro. But in 5 years, I'll be like, oh, like I'm still not where I want to be. But 5 years ago, Josh from 20, whatever that 2017, you know, would be like, bro, you are killing it, dude. You've got a fiance, you got a dog, you got this dope office, like
a lightsaber.
You got a lightsaber, like you're killing it, bro. And so just understanding that life is not, it's not always perfect, and it doesn't always look like this. It actually, when you step back from the grand scheme of things, it looks like this. But in the day to day, it looks like this, and it looks like this, and this. And
it looks like Trent's credit report.
No. No, by the way, it's like everyone's credit report, even if that changes.
So. No, it's so true, and such great words of advice, Josh. And you know, I mean, I feel the same way. You know, there are days that are great, there are days that are even better, and then there are days that are just not that well. Yeah. And I've fought with that my entire life. This is why I do this podcast. I like to speak to the hearts of people because, you know, when you said man up, you know, you can't do it alone. When you make a decision to make a change, nobody else can make that decision but you, right? Yeah. You're the only one that's going to, especially if it's, you know, addiction or drugs or any of those things or alcoholism. Absolutely. Or you have to make the decision on your own.
Mentorship is so important, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, we get strength from our brothers and our sisters, like fighting the good fight, and we can't do it alone.
No, I was just going to say, like, that decision has to start with you, but then you need to immediately surround yourself with all the people that are going to lift you up, or else you're just not going to make it far.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So Josh, with Boys Town, you know, their motto is "He ain't heavy. He's my brother," right? Just like the song. And it started back with Father Flanagan back in the day, you know, turn of the century when he created Boys Town. You know, there was one boy that they could not provide crutches for because they didn't even have the funding. Then it was during the Great Depression. And the boys would take turns carrying this child from school, classrooms, you know, outings and sports teams. And so he could sit and join everybody. And one day Father said, "Isn't he heavy?" And he said, "He's not heavy, Father. He's my brother."
Oh, wow.
Meaning we've all had somebody carry us in our lives. Who's carried you, Josh?
Oof, that was a really hard question. I wasn't expecting that. Honestly, my dad, truly, he was kind of the person last year that lit that fire under my butt and was like, "Josh, you have to make it happen. Like you have to be, you have to be the man in your family and your life to make it happen." And my entire life, my dad's been like that. He's just always supported me and been there for me, and I know if I needed anything at any moment that he would be there to help me, both my parents. But I feel bad for saying just my dad, because both my parents have been that way. I see them as such a unit and as kind of one person just because they're my parents. But they have done so much for me, and I mean, literally, I could do the worst things in the world, and my parents would stand by my side no matter what. And I'm forever grateful for them. And I know a lot of people don't have parents, and I'm sure that is a very hard thing. But having somebody in your life that fulfills that parent role is so important, because there's something innate and something almost spiritual and from like the heavens that a parent does for you. I got to give it to my dad and my mom. Like they've carried me my entire life. And, you know, I, even as a 30-year-old man, like I still rely on the love from my parents and just knowing that they support me. Yeah. I got to give it to them.
Hey, man, you know, it's beautiful. We can't do this journey alone.
No,
it's a hard enough road. To do it by yourself, and everybody else is on that same road. So, you know, it's like we said, surround yourself with good people, your parents, and you look, you know, not everybody has a perfect life, but it's what our life is and how we make what we make of our life. And you're doing it, brother. And we're so proud of you, man. Like, I just love your inspiration. And please do not stop. Keep it going.
The bridges are burned, man. I literally don't have anywhere else to go. So it's forward. Every bridge that I cross is just keep burning. And so, yeah. And like I've said, I want this is not just about me. I want to take as many people with me as I can. And thankfully with the power of social media and all that nowadays, you can take so many people along with you. So, And any way I can ever support you guys, you guys have been so gracious just with everything that you're doing for, you know, younger filmmakers and stuff and just being able to like, just having me on, like it's an honor, for you guys to ask me, like when you texted me the other day, I was like, man, that makes me feel so good. Like it's an honor to be on, like, that's amazing. So,
the pleasure is all ours, Josh. We're so proud of you, man. And everything that you're doing and the inspiration that you're doing. And guys, please go to Josh's Instagram. You know, it's at Josh Miller DP. Learn about what he's doing. He is educating. I mean, like beyond educating what cinematography, what you're going to be getting. He's giving you the tricks of the trade and everything he's learned and still learning along the way. So make it your mission. If you love taking photographs and you want to put those photographs into motion, you know, check out at Josh Miller DP. He's got a lot to offer. And of course, you know, working with the LFM network.
LFN.
Network. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, exactly. Awesome community. I think I was looking today, it was 843,000 followers. Yeah. Really impressive. And obviously they think highly of you being a part of their team. So keep up the great work.
That's Gabriel. Like I said, Gabriel's the owner of that. That was his whole mission with that channel as well, is to be able to teach people about filmmaking and cinematography. And so he's got a lot in the pipeline with LFN, just mentorships and you know, events and all that. And I'm pumped for helping him and being part of that and just what he's doing with that. Like, it's going to be so cool. Just the things that he's going to provide, for young filmmakers and just the film community.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that, man. So,
yeah.
Well, listen, that's about all of the time that we have for today, but the Boys Town toll-free national hotline, 1-800-448-3000, is a 24/7 crisis resource and referral number for kids and their parents. They are there to help anyone having suicidal thoughts, risking any type of self-harm, parenting problems, physical, sexual, emotional abuse, stress, anxiety, anger problems, school problems, like bullying and peer pressure, and of course, chemical dependency. And if you're suffering with any of these issues or you just need to talk, someone is there for you 24/7. Just call the Boys Town National Hotline, 1-800-448-3000. You don't feel like talking? You can text voice. VOICE to 20121. Again, that's voice to 20121. Someone will get back to you immediately. Boys Town, saving children, healing families. Till next time, love each other and love yourself.